I'd like to read, please, in the book of Genesis, first book in our Bibles, and chapter 27. Book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 27, and we'll read at verse 1. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old, and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son, and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold, now I am old, I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go to the field, and take me some venison. Well, I read that just for that one expression that we find there in verse 2, the expression that this man said, I know not the day of my death. Now we'll turn over to the Gospel of Luke. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, and we'll read at verse 41. Luke 19 and verse 41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city, and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. And he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein, and them that bought. And then a final reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians and chapter 6. And reading at verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and reading at verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now the Lord will bless, I'm sure, what we've heard tonight already in this first part of the meeting, and trust help in these closing moments. Very simply, last night we were thinking a little bit of the thought of things that we don't know. There's things that we don't know. Many things. Well, we've read about three tonight, or at least two tonight that we don't know, but there's one thing that we do know. So that's what I want to think about tonight in the gospel meeting. Two things that we don't know that we read about tonight, but one thing that we do know that the scriptures bring before us. Last night, the truth of the Lord's coming. And there's not one of us in this meeting tonight, from the speaker to the back of this building, yea, we could search throughout this whole land tonight. We could go from one end of this country to the other, and there's absolutely not one person, friend, that knows the moment, the day nor the hour when the Son of Man is coming. In other words, when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return, of which he has told us in his word, right through the Bible, the return of the Lord Jesus back to earth for his people. And if you want to read it in a specific way, you can read 1 Corinthians 15, or you can read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and it tells us very clearly and very plainly of the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. For every person that knows him as their Savior, those that are in Christ, the Bible says, or those that know Christ as their Savior. So we don't know, not a person knows when the Lord Jesus is coming back again. But then we read about two other things tonight, and that's what I would like to base my remarks upon for a few moments. In Genesis chapter 27, I want to take the words of this man Isaac, and it says that he was an old man, and yet I understand, I think correctly, that he lived maybe 40 years after this. And so he didn't die immediately, this man Isaac, but he made a statement tonight, friend, and I would ask you tonight, is this statement true or false? Would you agree with the statement that this man made? He made it hundreds, thousands of years ago, and yet it's a statement that is very relevant to our gospel meeting here tonight. He said to his son Esau, he said, I know not the day of my death. Would you agree with that statement or not? Would you accept that as a true statement? Or would you consider that to be a false statement? Well, I would think that every one of us in this meeting, we would have to acknowledge that that statement in the Bible is correct. I know not the day of my death. When I come to Luke chapter 19, we have there the thought the Lord Jesus said, speaking about these people, the city that he had looked over, he said they knew not the time of their visitation. A special visitation from God to these people, to this city, and the Lord Jesus said these people didn't know the time of their visitation. But when we come to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I want to remind you tonight, friend, that there is absolutely something that we do know tonight, and we want to convey that to you as best we can in this gospel meeting. The Bible declares, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And so we can preach without any wonderings whatsoever, friend, and we can proclaim to men and women and boys and girls in every part of the world, but we bring it right into our gospel meeting here tonight, in this meeting, in this building, the Lord God of heaven, the Bible declares to every person, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That's not a statement that's very hard to understand. Any person, even our younger ones tonight here, the boys and girls in this meeting would understand what it means now. If I was to ask the boys and girls in this meeting, what does it mean right now? It means, you'd say, well, it's right this present moment. Not tomorrow or not the next day, but as right now. And God declares, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So, friend, we trust in this gospel meeting, for that's the purpose that we've heard already tonight, the purpose of the preaching of the gospel. It is good news that goes into the world. It is good news from a far country. It's a message from God himself, friend. God has provided a way right down through the Bible. You can begin right at the first of the Bible with the very first man, created by the hand of God himself. And God breathed into that man the breath of life, and that man became a living soul. And from the moment that that man and that woman, Eve, had sinned against God and disobeyed God, when they had taken their own way, when they had gone astray from God, God provided a way of salvation. It was a way whereby Adam and Eve, the first man and the first woman, could have their sins covered for a season. In the Old Testament, friend, their sins were covered by the blood that was shed of the sacrifice that pointed forward to a sacrifice that God was going to provide in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And every sacrifice in the Bible tells us of the Lord Jesus that was going to come. And so in light of the sacrifice, that one supreme, great, perfect sacrifice, God's beloved Son, God provided a way whereby every person could have his sin covered. And so the very first man, Adam, it says that God clothed them with coats of skins. They put upon themselves coats of leaves. They tried to cover their nakedness with the leaves that they pulled from the trees of the garden. Why was that? They never did that before. God came down from heaven, and Adam and Eve was there waiting that they might talk with God and commune with God. But something, friend, had happened. Something had changed the whole picture. The whole thing had turned and gone in a different direction now. Do you know what it was? One act of disobedience against the Word of God. Adam and Eve sinned, the Bible says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So one act of disobedience, disobeying the Word of God, Adam and Eve sinned, and now that relationship was broken. So now they're trying to cover themselves from the eye of God. Do you know there was a statement made right back there in the book of Genesis by the one that we've heard about tonight, the God of this world? He said, you know, God is trying to keep something from you.
And if he knows that if you partake of that fruit, then you'll become as gods, knowing good and evil. And you know something? He told exactly the truth on that occasion, because their eyes were opened and they understood why we have done wrong. We have done the bad, not the good, but the bad. We have disobeyed God. Well, friend, that's where we find ourselves tonight. Because of a result of what Adam in the Garden of Eden, he brought sin, he brought this whole human race down in sin. And every person from Adam right down to this day and age which you and I are living, friend, the Bible declares that we are born in sin. So we're born with a nature that just naturally goes, takes to sin. As a duck takes the water, they say, well, we've got a nature, friend, that's just built right in us. And the first thing, you know, if something's wrong, then we tell a lie. If we're trying to squeeze out of a corner that we've got ourselves backed into, why, then the first thing that comes to our mind is not the truth, not to be honest, not to be straightforward, not to just set the record straight and clear the air and all the rest, but generally we try to hide the difficulty or the problem that we've got ourselves backed into. We don't want to be honest. It's some hard to be honest. Well, it's hard to be honest with God. A lot of people aren't saved because they don't want to be honest with God. And yet God in heaven looks down and he knows us inside out. He looks right into the heart and he knows our thoughts and he knows our actions. He knows all about us. Nothing is hid from the eye of God. And well, because of sin, friend, you and I tonight, God provided a way in the Old Testament for those people. God provided means whereby they might not be banished from the presence of God for eternity. And I want to tell you, God has provided a way for you and I in 1996, friend. God has provided means whereby you and I can have our sins forgiven. It is not the Lamb. It is not the shedding of the blood. A man one time was reading through the Bible. He's wanting to get right with God and he didn't know how to do it. And then he was reading in the Old Testament about a person who got a pigeon, and he wring the head off of the pigeon and poured out the blood of the pigeon, squeezed it out, and of course that was an offering that God accepted, done in the right way. Well, he thought he'd do that, and so he left down to the store to buy a pigeon. Well, on his way down to the store, there was an open-air meeting going on the street corner. And you know, he stopped to listen what the man was saying because there was a word that caught his ear. And the word that caught his ear was, the man was preaching on these words, "It is finished." And that caught his ear just as he was passing by. And so he stopped to listen to what the man was preaching about. And you know what he was preaching about? He was preaching about God's beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came, was born into this world, came down from heaven. John the Baptist, pointing to the Lord Jesus as he walked one day along the seashore, said to that company of people he was preaching to, he said, "Behold," or "take a look at, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." All those lambs in the Old Testament, friend, could only cover sin. But God's Lamb that came down from heaven, and John the Baptist points him out to a world that would behold, and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, God's Lamb, that taketh away the sin of the world." And so, friend, tonight, that man was standing there listening. And then he brought in his story right up to the account of the crucifixion. And he told about how Jesus was taken by wicked men and how that they treated him and what they did to him. And then finally they took him out to the place called Calvary. And then he was lifted up upon a cross. And on that cross he suffered and he bled and he died for man's sin. And he says, "For your sin." And the Lord Jesus on the cross, he cried, "Finished! The work of salvation completed." And you know when the Lord Jesus cried, "Finished!" on the cross, friend, that God in heaven was satisfied with the work of the Lord Jesus? Because it's God that must be satisfied. It must be God first. Because it was God's law that was broken. It was man who sinned against God in the very beginning. And so God was satisfied with the work of the Lord Jesus when Jesus cried, "Finished."
Could you be satisfied with the work of the Lord Jesus? Is that enough for you? Or do you have to have something else? Well, do you know, there isn't anything else. Just as God's way in the Old Testament was what God wanted. The first two boys in the world, Cain and Abel, demonstrates to us tonight, tells us the account tonight, that there's God's way and there's man's way. God's way is accepted, man's way is rejected. Abel brought a lamb, and he offered that lamb on the altar just the way that God desired and wanted. And you know something? God accepted Abel. Cain brought of the offering the fruit of the ground. What he had done, the work that he had put into it. And I'm sure, friend, it was the best he had. But God would not accept Cain's sacrifice. Do you know why? Because it was not God's way. And so what's our message tonight? God has a way whereby you and I can be saved. And that way has been provided by God Himself in the giving of His Son for God. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God's way and man's way. And my friend, God tonight would desire for you that you might come His way. Well, things we don't know. We don't know the day of our death. I was just thinking there, sitting there, about a year and a half ago, I guess it would be now, we were having a few meetings in a place called Flowers Cove on the Northern Peninsula in Newfoundland. And one night after the meeting, or at least the next morning, we got the news that there had been an accident up the road just a ways from where the hall is, the Gospel Hall, and that a young girl of 17 had been tragically killed. The story was, just up the road from where we're having the meetings in that small village, that the night before, a friend had called this girl, and she said, I'm going down for a drive down to a place called Sandy Cove, which is about 10 miles down the road. She said, "I'm going down to Sandy Cove for a drive. Would you like to come with me?" And they said that it was exactly 5 minutes from the time that the girl called her friend until the friend was in eternity. That girl didn't realize. She picked up the phone. When she answered that phone and her friend had called her, she didn't realize that within 5 minutes she was going to be in eternity. And I want to tell you, friend, that put a solemn note in our meetings at that time, when we looked into the face of a young woman as they left her home and had just come out onto the little highway that was there, going around a corner, could, for no reason really that they could figure out what had happened. That young woman lost control of that vehicle and it rolled over, and that young passenger, that young girl of 17, sitting in that vehicle, was instantly ushered in to eternity. And I thought to myself, as I thought about that the next day tragically, and I suppose every one of us here tonight could think of cases of tragic things that have taken place in the lives of individuals. A young woman, 5 minutes from the time she got one phone call, and she went out into eternity. Do you know something? There's not one of us here tonight in this meeting that knows the day of our death. Wouldn't it be tragic if somebody in this meeting had but 5 minutes? Wouldn't that be a tragic story? Wouldn't that be a tremendous thing if we were speaking to somebody in this building tonight, in 5 minutes from the time that this meeting is over, we're going to get the news? Did you hear that girl? Or did you hear about that man? And the tragic thing that happened, gone into eternity. Well, friend, my Bible tells me, and Isaac was a man who declared, I know not the day of my death. Well, if that rings a little bell maybe in your heart tonight, why I say that, friend, is that it brings me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and the Bible declares, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Do you know what death does? Death is a robber. One man said one time, death robs a family. Death is that which robs a family. And every one of us here in this meeting, from the speaker to the back, would probably go back in our thoughts, in our minds, and remember of a family member, a loved one, someone maybe near or dear to us, and we watched them or we heard, and they were taken out into eternity. I can remember both grandmothers, one on my dad's side and one on my mom's side, and just the way it was. My wife and I was sitting in the chair beside one of my grandparents, my grandmother's, and then we were standing in the hospital about 4 o'clock in the morning in the case of the other one. And I want to tell you, there was two different stories. My one grandmother on my mother's side, a religious woman, a woman who thought baking for the church was number one, who thought that going out to a meeting to listen to her grandson preach the gospel was probably a pretty good thing to do. Yeah, but when it come as far as God's salvation was concerned, or to speak to her about being saved, why, that was something that was outside of what she could take in altogether. She figured if she'd done the best she could, if she was a good citizen in the community, and even though the grandchildren and her daughter and so on had gone a little different course, why, she just thought that wait for the next life, and hopefully everything is going to be all right in the next life. If we do pretty good here and try our best, now why then God is going to overlook any of the mistakes that we have made. Or God will forget all of the things that we did that we shouldn't have done. Well, friend, we told her over and over again that God's salvation is a gift. The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. A person gets God's salvation by receiving it as a gift. My other grandmother, why, I at different times talked to her, she said, I was 17 years of age when I got saved, a young woman, and she came up through life, a hard life, friend. A husband that left her to raise the family by herself, raised three boys in an ungodly world with hardly anything to make ends meet, and struggled through it all. But I want to tell you one thing, she had a Savior. And a one that stood by her, and one that she could come to in every time of need. And often she told me, she said, she went back, why, she said, it just seeing she's 88 years of age now. And she's looking back to when she was 17 years of age. And she said, it just seems like a dream. The life that's gone by, even with all the hardships, and all the problems, and all the troubles. She said, it's just like, life is just like a dream. But she said, at 17, a young woman of 17 years of age, why, she says, I found Christ as my personal Savior. And I want to tell you, friend, that's what it's all about. That's what the gospel is all about, finding the Lord Jesus Christ as one's personal Savior. Why, forget about everything else. Death robs a family. Death robs of finances, money. It matters not, friend, how much you can lay to as far as this life is concerned. It matters not what you accumulate or what you get around you or how big the bank account is. Like they said to one man, how much did he leave behind? He said he left it all behind. When it's time to go, friend, we leave everything behind. And death is a robber. And many a person has sold their soul for what they could get in life, and they're going to lose it all. Not only that, but a future. Future for heaven, the future for God's salvation. When death comes, friend, that's it. It stops everything. Everything comes to a halt when death comes into the life. That's why we seek to remind men and women and boys and girls. And friend, if it stirs your heart tonight, we pray to God that it will.
that your soul tonight would be stirred in this gospel meeting to take a long look into eternity, and maybe not so long. How do we know how long we've got? When we're going to cross this pillar of death, when we're going to come to the end of life's journey. We're driving by the bank up here tonight, and it says on the window of the bank, and I thought, there it is. On the window of the Bank of Montreal, just up the street, it says, life is short. That's what it said. Life is short. But then underneath it says, so get your RSPs in the right place, because life is short. And I thought, that's the message. That's the message in the gospel. That's the message that we're trying to convey to people. The bank is trying to convey it to get your money so they can get your money at work and get the finances going and get your money put in the right places and get it all set up for a little farther down the road. But I want to tell you, friend, we want you to think about eternity. Life is short, and eternity is so near, and you and I are going to leave this world behind, and we're going into eternity, and we're never coming back. Why, we hope you're going to make profits for eternity. We hope, friend, that you're going to put your money in the right bank, if that's the way you could put it. In other words, friend, make it right for eternity. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these other things, why, they'll be added unto you. Put first things first. And God's salvation, friend, is the thing to put first tonight. Behold, now is the accepted time. The Bible says, behold, now is the day of salvation. Why not tomorrow? If I asked you tonight, would it be all right to get saved tomorrow? What would you answer me? Would it be wise to wait till tomorrow for God's salvation? Or should we be in earnest today, tonight? Well, my Bible tells me we need to be in earnest tonight. And friend, we trust that you'll be in earnest tonight, that you might get this matter settled, my sins forgiven, ready for heaven, all well. And I close by quoting a verse in the Bible that tells me this. The Lord Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Friend, is there one that would come tonight? And he says, I will give you rest. We trust that you might come to the Lord Jesus tonight. Remember, tomorrow could be one day too late. May you trust him tonight. Now we'll pray. Our Father, we bow at the close of our meeting tonight to thank thee again for the privilege of being able to just remind men and women and fellow travelers to eternity of the importance of getting the matter of God's salvation settled. We thank thee, Father, that thou didst make a way whereby we could be saved. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Thy word reminds us that there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And we thank thee, Father, that he opened the door at Calvary when he gave himself willingly and freely. And tonight salvation provided for us, and we can partake of it and receive it as the gift of God. And we pray that some soul in our gathering tonight might enter through that open door. We pray thy blessing, bless thy word. Take us to our homes in safety, but most of all, our Father, we pray that some soul tonight might rest upon the finished work of thy beloved Son. We ask it now in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. We'll sing in closing hymn number 156. Hymn number 156. Why do you wait, O sinner? Well, why do you tarry so long when Jesus is waiting to give you a place in his sanctified throng? And so on. Hymn number 156. Again, we appreciate each one that has come tonight to the meeting. And our interest, again, is in your spiritual welfare, that you might receive a spiritual blessing from God. Now, there's a prayer meeting to follow for those that can stay. And if there's any in any case that maybe you have a few questions or would like to speak with one of us or anyone, There's some here that would be just more than happy to speak with you. If you have any questions or things you'd like to talk about, there's room here for to just sit down quietly and speak together over the Bible. We can't save anybody, wouldn't profess to. But sometimes we can help a little bit just by reading the scriptures together and seeing what God has to say. So keep this in mind as well. Hymn number 156.
Why do you rejoice?